This week on Terp Weekly Edition, a new bar is coming to College Park. Only 100 days until graduation, and students' reaction to Carmelo Anthony joining the New York Knicks.
This is Terp Weekly Edition, a student-produced weekly radio news magazine produced by the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland in College Park, in cooperation with WMUC Radio.
I'm Kristen Foca. For University of Maryland seniors, the day that they have all been waiting for is less than 100 days away. Emily Jacobs tells us how seniors are preparing for graduation and how they feel about what's to come after their college days are over.
It's almost springtime, and that can only mean one thing for University of Maryland seniors. Graduation time is almost here. For many, just saying the word graduation inspires anxiety and even sadness as they prepare to leave the place that they have called home for the past 4 years. Entering the real world is a scary thought for most seniors, but not for criminal justice major John Grams, who says he has enjoyed his time here, but is definitely ready to leave college.
I am excited to graduate and move on with my life outside of College Park.
While Grams can't wait to graduate, fellow senior Cynthia Grossberg says moving on from college and starting a new stage in her life is the last thing she wants to do.
I'm so nervous. I'm, like, so used to, like, the structure and, like, having my friends here, and it's, like, really scary that, you know, pretty soon, like, the life I know for the past, like, I've known for the past 4 years is going to be over.
Grossberg, who is majoring in psychology, says that while getting her degree will be a great accomplishment, she'll be sad to leave the university when graduation day comes.
It's going to be, like, really rewarding to see my accomplishment for the past 4 years, like, on a piece of paper and, like, have a degree and, like, be able to work and make my own money. But, like, at the same time, like, you know, the life I've known, the life I have here is going to be over.
Both Grams and Grossberg had advice for those high school seniors who will be coming to College Park next year.
Go to class. Enjoy it because it goes by quick.
Live every day. Like, have a good time. It goes by really, really fast.
I'm Emily Jacobs for Terp Weekly Edition.
As graduation is looming, many seniors worry the job market will not give them a warm welcome. But Tyler Radicke tells us of one student who has no concerns about entering the workforce.
Jason Scofie has fewer than 100 days until graduation, which means fewer than 100 days until he's forced to enter the real world. Talk to the senior, though, and you'll quickly see that he has no fears about leaving school.
I think that's going to be a big change after going to school for, you know, most of my life. Now I'm ready to go out into the full-time world and be working until I'm probably 65 years old, at least.
Scofie's situation is unique, though. The job market is very competitive right now, and getting a job in your field of choice is tough. Last summer, Scofie interned at DC Metro, where he made some contacts and proved he could handle the job. Now, they're hiring him after he graduates.
After I graduate, I'm planning to stay on with the current company that I'm interning with, DC Metro. And I plan to work for their engineering group and at least work here in the area for a few years and see where I'll reevaluate where I want to be. Maybe after a few years, after I've gotten a good experience down here with a good company.
Few students can point to job security like that, but Scofie had to make tough sacrifices to get where he is.
I'm a little disappointed that, like, I really didn't get more of like a kid life in terms of going out, you know, and playing around and stuff like that, because I was working full-time all these summers, so I feel like I missed out on that a little bit. But I think those summers, putting the time then, will really give me that great opportunity with a good job right out of school, so in that sense, it really makes up for it.
And because of his hard work, he'll be starting his career immediately and will have a job at a place where he likes working. Will he miss college at all?
College was a good 4 years. It was a great experience. I'm going to miss it, definitely. But it's time to move on to something new and, like, another chapter of my life, which would be, like, my 20s, kind of living and working and seeing what else is out there and not knowing what's around the next bend.
Around the next bend is a career waiting for Scofie, which means no more classes, no more student life. That lifestyle change can hit many students hard, but Scofie feels he can handle it.
I think it's going to definitely change, but it's going to be a slower process. To begin with, it's going to be a little bit like college still. I'll be on my own living, and I'll actually have some money, so I'll be able to do a little more traveling and afford some cooler things in my life.
Those cooler things in life are waiting for him just 100 days away. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Tyler Radeke.
Maryland baseball. It's always been associated with mediocre finishes and an empty stadium. But as Kenny Garner tells us, this program's revival might give Terp fans something to get excited about.
When Eric Backich took over as head coach of Maryland baseball, he wanted to rebuild the team and its fan base. And with the Terps headed in the right direction, longtime fans such as Jim Steinbach, who has been coming to games for 10 years now, have noticed student attendance is increasing.
Yeah, there's more here than have been in past years.
And Steinbach believes winning will draw more students to the student section, which is located right by the visiting bullpen.
If they start winning and they start hounding the opposing pitchers, well, don't know. It's 6 of 1, half dozen of the other.
Hounding the pitcher might indeed work, but not in the way you'd expect.
The pitcher's good, ain't going to affect him. But it might get in the heads of some of the guys sitting as close to the bench.
This first-time attendee was surprised at the attendance, especially when it was so cold early on in the season.
I'm actually surprised. I think there are a lot of people here.
But would she catch on with the hassling of opposing pitchers?
I don't know. I don't like to harass the other players.
The other fans might, though. There was a collection of the rowdier fans as well as some families making for a diverse atmosphere on a cold afternoon. And how far can this team go?
Going to go as far as the pitching takes them. They've got talent on the field and at the plate. So we'll see. It'd be nice.
And that might just be enough to fill the hearts of fans and the stands here at Shipley Field. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Kenny Gardner.
Up next, the challenges of opening a new drinking venue for students. I'm Kristen Foca. Want to shake that groove thing? Although new places like the revamped Vito's Pizzeria are beginning to revitalize College Park nightlife, there is still a void that has yet to be filled. Jason Murphy has more.
Over the course of the last 6 months, the downtown College Park bar scene has dwindled to just two options. With the losses of the Thirsty Turtle, Santa Fe, and the Mark, students who want to let loose on the weekends have been forced to cram into Bentley's and Cornerstone or find alternative places to drink. That is all about to change, as a new bar and restaurant will be coming to Route 1. The Barking Dog, which is currently located in Bethesda, is opening up a new location at 7416 Baltimore Avenue, Turtle's old address. But much to the dismay of some students, Barking Dog owner John McManus has made it abundantly clear that this is not the second coming of Turtle. McManus has set a goal of May for opening the downstairs section of the bar and restaurant after the County Liquor Board gave him a unanimous vote of support on Tuesday. Although many students are in favor of a new bar on Route 1, some aren't sure how effective the Barking Dog will be.
I don't think it's going to do too well because it's going to scan and it's not going to get that many people out there because a lot of people can't get in. A lot of people, I think there's something in the article about drink prices and they were really pretty high for what we pay here in College Park.
Others are more optimistic about the Barking Dog's chances.
Oh, I think, it should get just as many people as Turtle used to. You know, people are used to getting off the bus stop and not having to cross Route 1 at all and just walking straight in.
But will that success last?
I think they're going to try for a while, but I think things will lessen up within 6 months to a year, so it'll get back to normal.
Some students are just happy to have another place to go to escape the crowded bars and house parties that have become more common since Turtle's closing.
Well, I think it's a really good idea because I feel like there's not a lot of places for kids to hang out, and I think it gives kids a place to go on the weekends and stuff instead of just, like, stumbling around in the street.
Although the dance floor and cheap drinks that Turtle was known for will not be highlights of the Barking Dog, McManus, the County Liquor Board, and students are all welcome to the new bar and restaurant on Route 1. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Jason Murphy.
For more on the new addition to College Park nightlife, I went to Bethesda to talk to Barking Dog owner John McManus,
He told me what he envisions to help his bar succeed, minus the underage clientele.
You know, college kids are no different than kids in general. They need something to do. They want something to do. They want something fun to do. They don't mind paying. I mean, you know, it's not like college kids are sitting around every night in that movie Stand By Me where they pull out their pocket and they got $4.10 and they buy a bologna and a pack of bread and a couple Cokes. You know, these kids are going to University of Maryland. You know, they've got money. And they appreciate good food and good service. Yeah, they want to have a good time. You know, when they're broke, like all of us get broke every now and then, they hunker down and drink Natty Light in their room or in their house, and they go to a house party or fraternity party, whatever. You know, I'm sure you don't want to go and spend $4 for a freaking vodka tonic. But let me tell you, you were paying $2 for rot gut vodka at the Thirsty Turtle. And, you know, maybe a Grey Goose is going to cost you $5, okay? Because we charge $8 here.
Yeah.
And we get it.
I'm sure you do.
Patron, we get $11.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Marnier, we get $11. We're not going to do that there.
Because the clientele's not there.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're not going to pay it.
Yeah, they just will go somewhere else.
Right. They'll go somewhere else.
Or drink first and then come
right.
in.
Right. And then just try to be fucked up and raise hell. And, I mean, that is sort of, you know, that's the balance. You got to find a happy medium. You've got to. So the answer to that is offer people a nice place to go, a nice atmosphere to spend time. You know, the Thirsty Turtle is done.
Yeah.
That model in College Park won't work anymore. The city will not give anyone a license to operate in the manner in which the Thirsty Turtle was operating. And they basically, you know, ruined it for everybody forever until the memory has been seared out of their mind. And we just want to be able to offer a different option for people that people will find fun. We will spend the money on really good DJs that will get people, you know, dancing and having fun. I think it would be really nice if you walked upstairs at the Turtle and there was a pool table and there were some cocktail tables like this that you could sit around, and that there was like a huge lounge area. You know where the sound booth is up there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you walk in and the bathrooms are right here?
Yep.
Well, I'm putting a pool table or I'm putting these skee ball tables. I'm going to put like four of those skee ball tables so we can have leagues. And then I'm going to put a pool table on the other side by the sound booth. I might even put two, and then I might put like a lounge area. And then that cuts that room in half.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't need to be jam-packed. You know, it can still be fun and not be a shit show.
McManus hopes to finalize an agreement with the landlord within the next 2 days so he can start renovations and open in May. You're listening to Terp Weekly Edition on 88.1 FM WMUC. Can the weather forecasts have an effect on your mood? One study says it does. Devin Miller asks students if they've been affected by the recent ups and downs of the temperature.
Shorts and flip-flops to hats and gloves. University of Maryland students are putting on their jackets and braving the cold temperatures. Hard to believe, not too long ago, we got a little taste of summer. 70-degree weather seemed too good to be true. A study done about 30 years ago found a connection between weather and mood, especially among college students. Do rising temperatures make for happy, more optimistic students? Julian Harf agrees.
More this week, I've been not as excited to go to class, not really as excited to really do anything, especially when I have a lot of homework and stuff.
According to the study, higher temperatures lowered anxiety and skepticism. For Graham Benny, it's much simpler than that.
I've always been more of a summer guy, so when it's like nice out, sunny, warm, I'm usually in a better mood.
Unlike Harf and Benny, Alyssa Flacco isn't falling for Mother Nature's tease.
Well, when the weather was amazing for those 2 days, I definitely was a lot happier. But because it's been so extreme, I didn't really get used to the warm weather, so it hasn't made me more depressed that it's now cold again.
Some students say it's less about their mood and more about their productivity. Jamie Ott is one of them.
When it's really cold outside, you don't really want to hang outside, so I much rather go to class and do some work and get studying done. But when it's warm outside, you're happy and you want to stay outside and not go to class, and it's just a lot more fun.
To her, this cold weather is coming at the perfect time.
Now it's like midterm week and it's getting cold, so then kids are inside studying and getting to work and not having distracted by the weather.
This same study reported that humidity lowered students' ability to concentrate and increased sleepiness. With the warm weather approaching, students may have to battle humidity before hitting the books. Checking next week's weather forecast, I'm Devin Miller, Terp Weekly Edition.
The Knicks are back, and so is basketball in the Big Apple. Brian Hoffman has more.
It was more like daytime TV than the NBA, but after months of speculation, the melodrama is finally over. Carmelo Anthony was dealt to the Knicks this week, where he will team up with fellow superstar Amari Stoudemire to try to bring a championship back to New York. In his Knicks debut, Melo scored a team-high 27 points, already proving his worth to a raucous Madison Square Garden crowd. Anthony, born in Brooklyn but raised in Baltimore, has plenty of fans here in College Park, many of which think the trade was a no-brainer for the orange and blue.
That's a great core to have, the two best offensive forwards at their positions in the league. I don't see how you can do wrong with that.
They really didn't give up anything because a later-round draft pick doesn't really mean anything in the NBA.
The Knicks also acquired Chauncey Billups in the deal, a man who has an NBA Finals MVP to his name. Still, while winning a championship in 2011 may be too tall of an order, New York's dynamic duo no doubt creates a winning formula for seasons to come.
If they were to add a defensive center and whoever their point guard of the future is, like, don't get me wrong, Billups is a great player, but if they add a good point guard to run that system, then they can be a great team down the road.
In the future, you know, if they get other acquisitions that are good bench players and good role players, then they could definitely be a force in the East.
Anthony was courted by New Jersey and considered staying in Denver as well. But ultimately, his heart was in an Empire state of mind. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Brian Hoffman.
Our producer is Devin Miller. Our editor, Jason Murphy. Technical production by Emily Jacobs and Kenny Gardner. And additional help from Brian Hoffman and Tyler Redeke. Listen to us online anytime at www.twe.umd.edu. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Kristen Foca. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Terp Weekly Edition, a presentation of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland, in cooperation with 88.1 FM WMUC in College Park.